Alrighty, cuz, put your hands together for just for fun. Here you go, put your hands together. Come on, yeah, that's alright. My name is Harry Man Harvey. Welcome. I know that basically all of you have no idea what you're here for, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Let me introduce myself. As I said just a second ago, my name is Matt Harvey, and I have found out through my years of doing comedy that I have a very hard to Google name, right? Mostly because it's so damn common. At the moment, the number one Google search for Matt Harvey is a guy called Matt Harvey who plays Major League Baseball. So I'm never going to be higher than him. I'm never going to be able to top this guy. Never going to be, unless I commit a mass murder. So thank you all for coming out to make me number one on Google. Teamwork. You don't get free tickets for nothing, guys. No, that's fine. I found out there's another comedian called Matt Harvey, which is who's more famous than I am, right? And that's a problem because, you know, this is show business. Like, the main reason I know that he is more famous than I am is because I know who he is, but he doesn't know who I am. Yeah, that's how fame works. That's like textbook fame. There's also a poet named Matt Harvey who's more famous than I am. And like I said just before, this is show business. I think the number one requirement is to be more Googleable than a poet. So I've got a bit of work to do. If you have any friends, tell them about me. You can tweet me, at me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever, I'm there. You'll find me after many, many pages. if you show me enough, you'll find me. I'm doing a show at the festival, and later, it's called World of Words. It's a show about words, and because I know starting a show with a joke about my name is quite a big cliche, right? I'm aware of that. The main reason I'm doing it is because obviously names are a subset of words, and I feel like words have become quite important over the last year or so. It's got to the point where I feel like names tell us a lot more than we think they do. Because I know I've got a friend named River, right? And I can tell my friend River's name that his parents smoked a lot of pot, right? And I met a girl named Destiny once, and I can tell by her name that her parents regretted having her and smoked a lot of pot. So that's just that's an idea of what names can tell you. And obviously, a year and a half ago or something like that, nobody would ever thought the name President Trump could exist. But here we are! Here we are! Every day just like, oh really? Are you sure? Okay. I'll check it in tomorrow. So that's sort of like an idea of what I'm thinking. And just a couple of things now. So I've got a couple of guests backstage who are also doing shows for this festival that you're going to love. They're amazing comedians. They've traveled a very long way to be here, so it'd be very nice to them. So just a couple more things. Also, I was talking about names, right? And I feel like Trump, the word Trump, right? The way we do it in society, is we, basically, the word means we, right? Yeah, it means we, it's we. I feel like as a group, as a generation, we could probably change that overnight. Like, it's time to change that. Because remember that time that we had the king here, we changed it to cow's punch basically overnight? That's the sort of power that we carry at the moment. So we can change Trump. We can change the meaning of the word Trump from winning to quote without consent. Right? Yeah, a couple of laughs and one that added not up in the back. You can laugh, it's okay. While we're at it, one more change I'd like to make is I'd like to. There's a saying that's a slip of a meeting. Have you heard of this saying? But it's okay, we'll get an explanation. So basically, this saying is about a man named Mickey Finn from Chicago. Right? And this man, he's not a good man, he's a very notorious date rapist, he likes spike people's drinks, and that's where the phrase slip of Mickey comes from, right? But weirdly, it's a weirdly cute phrase for how horrible that man is. And the city of Chicago is weirdly proud of it. Like, if you go to the Sears Tower, it's got written on the wall of the Sears Tower, they're like, hey, the world's most notorious date rapist is from our sleepy town. Oh, no, not sleepy, from our little town. It's so bizarre that they would put that on the wall there. Like, yeah, that's where this saying comes from. How cool is that? No, not at all. But I'd like to update the saying. I'd like to bring it into the modern lexicon. And instead of saying Slipper Mickey, because you know that was good for that time, it let us know what sort of a man he was. I'd like to update it to Slipper McCoskey. Yeah, I feel like that's it. Come on, that's appropriate. He brought it on himself. Don't feel bad for him. That's fine. Because then, you know, that just reminds us of what kind of a man he was. Okay, cool. Thank you guys for indulging me. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to bring out your first guest. Right? So make sure you give him a little love, give him a lot of affection. Like I said, they both come along with it. So my first guest is a comedian. She's come all the way over from Melbourne. And she's doing a show here at the festival. So please put your hands together and make her feel welcome. It's Lauren Block!
Hi, Ted. How are you? Yeah, good. I'm from Melbourne, so sorry about that. I've been coming over the fringe. I'm enjoying my time here. It's been really great. It's last weekend, I went over to the women's footy at the new Perth Stadium, yes. Round of applause if you've already been to the Perth Stadium. Round of applause if you've not been to the Perth Stadium. Okay. I mean, I just feel a little embarrassed for you that the Melbourneian is out Perthing you right now. That's a real shame. But it's a beautiful, and it's awesome. Like, the best thing is, like, you go on the train, and you come out from the train, and then you go over the bridge, and it's got, like, the river that's, like, flowing through, and then they've got the Perth Stadium there, so just this beautiful vista, some perch there, and it reminds me of the bit in Jurassic Park when you see the dinosaurs for the first time. It's the theme of Jurassic Park. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing there. And you turn to the side and you realize you haven't finished the footbridge yet. Right? I think it's a very, maybe it's a mentality kind of thing. It's like a FIFO, you know, when you get that first paycheck from the mines. So you buy like a big V8 and then you can't pay your rent, man. So you guys just bought a big souped up stadium. Fucking yeah, Rock 'em Stadium, yeah! Remember going to the city? And yeah, we forgot about the footbridge, haven't we? We'll just do it next time. Yeah. So that's what I've been around doing that. I arrange my shows. I go to Adelaide after this. It's going to be awesome as well. They've got like the Adelaide Fringe, really big festival over there. So you have to go out and you have to fly. You have to give people a picture of your face with better lighting than you have at your disposal in everyday life. Right? So is that you? And I say yes, but I've had a lot of work done. Right? And I like to, I always like to go to local businesses and sort of get people sort of, you know, maybe chat informally to other unsuspecting Adelaideans about myself, right? And I love going to florists, mostly because they're bored. Like, to be honest though, I mean, if it's not Valentine's Day and it's not Mother's Day, what the fuck are they doing? You know? Like, we have 24-hour florists in Melbourne. Do you guys have them in Perth? No, you don't. You just must all treat each other a lot better. We're doing Melbourne, right? I mean, that's the, you get like 3 a.m. flowers, you know, and the thing is, like, they're all in Carlton, which is that Carlton's very connected to like the mob as well. So a part of me thinks that they're all drug fronts. You know, so it's at 3 a.m. and you've got some flowers, and you're like, I'm so sorry, honey, and also here's some cocaine. I would be a lot more forgiving if flowers came with a side of cocaine. You know. Anyway, but in Adelaide with the florist, and she's looking at the very nice lighting flyer, and she goes, "Oh, you don't seem like you're from Melbourne." Right? I was like, "Oh, why is that?" She goes, "Because you're smiling and you're not wearing black." I don't like this. Do they just think we're like a it's a city of goths or something? Like, is that the perception, Perth? Is that what people think of it? I'm like, oh, like, that's fair. That is fair. But I am wearing a T-shirt that has "I'm from Melbourne" written on it. And she goes, "No, I can't read that way." What are you going to do? So, yeah, you guys been enjoying your fridge? Yeah. Yeah, have you been seeing shows?
Yeah.
another round of applause. Who did you not say to Frank? Their first Frank show. Okay, you're lying. She's getting the nods. You have dog hair in. I'm glad to start the expectations nice and low. So from there. Well, how many shows have people seen? Just get out, get numbers, and how many?
Four.
Is anyone more than four?
Two.
That's not more than four, but six. That is more than four. Adelaide can't read, but Perth can count. Very good. I'm just nosy. I just like that. I did Edinburgh Fringe last year, right? Chop it, claim. I did though. I got a bit nosy at Edinburgh and I would ask people how many shows they had seen. It was really interesting. Do you want to know the most amount of shows someone had seen?
Yeah.
Do you want to take a guess?
10.
More than 10. 15. More than 15.
35.
More than 35. See, this is the point where everyone goes, fucking what? More than 50? More than 100? Less than 200. See, now that's not as interesting, is it? You get really impressed, and some says, 1,000,000! Yeah, more than that. You saw 144 shows. Right? I know. Any of you still sit at the front, keen as a fucking jelly bean? I just thought, obviously, sir, you have a death wish. This is your suicide mission. This gets to the end of Edinburgh. You'll just keel over. And we're going to have to carry him out, you know, and put him on a pyre made of flyers. A flyer pyre. And just set him alight. And just push him on out into the Scottish sea. Anyway, so guys, my show is about how to make a fringe show. I just find that it's like a fascinating subject to me. And one thing that I find very interesting is who's in the audience, you know. So, I mean, obviously, you're all individuals, right? You're all individuals?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, good. And it's a collectively boring place. There's always one dad at the back that's like, I'm not, and you're like, Monty Python are dead. what I wanted to do, I kind of get a mic stand for this, is that all?
I'm just going to swap mics. Boom.
Professional. I'm just going to find out who's in the audience, okay? So are you ready for this? Oh yeah, that is the sound of ready. Isn't it? Okay,
so the first person is going to be the audience, and any given fringe
show will be the tech person, the person at the back pushing the buttons, the voice in the show, because you paid them to be there. So who wants to be the tech tonight, everyone? Yes? Someone go, me? There, behind the back. That's the qualification you need to have a tech. You just need to go, I guess.
There you go, that's for you. Take that. I'll just fling it. Oh, there we go. Excellent,
guys. I've got a good fling arm, all right? I've done a double of mine.
The next thing, the next person that you'll find at the fringe show, at any given time, is going to be mum.
Mum's going to rock up, going to come and support a baby girl. Does anyone here want to be my mum? Back there, mum's at the back.
Mum came, guys. You were so supportive. Is dad?
Don't worry, no, it's
fine. I can't remember his name.
Like mother, like daughter, am I right?
Okay, guys, so the next one is, this happens
ever so occasionally. You might have like a bit of a low sales kind of situation happening. So you put a little Hail Mary out on Facebook to all your comedy mates. There were fringe passes, they get to see shows for free. So this is the pity artist card, okay? So, does anyone want to be the pity artist tonight? Just being reluctantly dragged along because they're just mates with you. Anyone? I've been someone's dog, someone in. There you go, mate.
Thank you very much. It's really great for me to be here. Yes, you go. You're actually doing it wrong, though. The thing is with the pity artist, you actually just have to sit right at the back,
don't laugh at anything because you're saving your voice for your own show. You know, and don't talk about it at all, unless it was bad. In that case, tell everyone. Just sit at the back, fart into your chair, that's your job. Got it? Great, okay. So the next thing is, I don't know,
this is a weird phenomenon. I've seen this happen heaps of times. I don't know why it does, but inevitably someone will come along to your show that you have slept with.
I don't know why. I think they have some sort of vanity thing that come along just to see if maybe that you've written a bit about them or something like that. But it's like, she's telling that my people about my dick, but they go along. So, who here have I slept with? You know, statistically speaking, it should be at least a few of you. It's really not, because it's not real. Just pretend, okay? Just dump someone in. It's the easiest time.
There you go. Let's keep one point. Thank you very much. We had a beautiful night of passion. I don't know if this is the best place to tell you this, but you should get tested.
Okay, so look, the next thing that happens is another quite strange phenomenon. It's called stage lust. So someone will maybe see a poster or meet you when you're flying, and they'll think you're a little bit of all right. So they'll rock up to show, and this is the someone that wants to sleep with me can't. Okay, just use it as an hour's worth of just uninhibited perving, huh? So who here wants to sleep with me?
Can't help but feel a little bit.
You come back a second. The power of the pussy.
So the last part is look. I mean, you get stage lust.
The other thing you might get is crowd lust as well. So someone will come along to the show, they'll sit in the front row, they'll laugh at everything I have to say. So I just start planning our lines together. So this would be someone I would like to sleep with, can't I? But look, I'm a modern woman, so I've built in some consent as well.
So it goes like, this is
not...
No, that's fine, no worries. So reluctant.
No one's ever like gone just taken it and just ripped it in two, and I'm like, I'm in for it. Nuts. I just hold them up, guys, just let me see them, they're so beautiful. This is like my Carols by Candlelight moment. It just looks so big from up here, okay, and then just put them somewhere safe because they're very expensive. They're not at all, guys. That's going to be all from me, and thank you very much. Let's bring Matt back on stage. I've been Lauren Brock. Thank you.
Lauren Brock, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we pretty much already did that.
You've done
we can keep going. Oh, I did a little bit of the show just then. So it's a bit more about that bullshit, actually. So he's more of that.
What's it called?
It's called Between a Bock and a Hard Place. My last name is Bock,
yes.
So I have to keep reminding people of that and haven't just said rock wrong.
It's nice, good puns.
Thanks.
Fun punnery. How many more shows do you have?
I only have one more show.
Oh.
I know, man.
So if you want to see her, when do we have to see her?
It's on at 8:45, and it's at the Perth Town Hall. Does anyone know where that is? Okay, you do. Okay, cool. Can you tell the rest of Perth, please? It's actually great. It's nice. They've activated the space really well. They have really cute pizzas, and they have espresso martinis, and it's a really nice little environment. They have a really good week. It's been nice, yeah.
Yeah, when they're... I've been there for a couple of different shows.
Yeah.
So it's been, even just like hanging out in the hallway, you sort of feel, because that's where the Renaissance, the 30th
Renaissance. Yeah, the WTF Renaissance as well.
So
and plus colouring in, which they don't judge you if you do it as an adult.
I did not see the colouring.
It's become my, like, you know, if I'm a bit stressed about the show, I'm just like, and just put it all in through the colouring.
I don't know if that counts as therapy.
Yes, it does.
I guess if stand up counts as therapy, then that definitely counts as therapy. I did see the show, so I do recommend going to see the show. It's a very fun meta breakdown of the Fringe Festival process.
Thank you.
I can only imagine that's like the natural extension of when they ask you to do free writing in English, and your first thought is like, I'll do an essay about how I can't write an essay in real life. Just break that
down.
So
what you're saying is that I've done a first draft, and I just left it at that. The show has more substance than that. I just want you to know that.
No.
I came up with it when I was in Edinburgh, when I was over there, because shows start like 11 a.m. in the morning and they go until like 2 a.m. at night, and you're just like showing all the time. And I was watching and going to shows, and I was really immersed in this fucking soup of like art. Right, it was sticky, and it made me sort of think about the sort of psychology and the sort of things that people, that are performers, and that late at the artist bar when they're talking to each other, and the sort of like theories and the kind of psychology behind what it is a show needs to be, what it needs to have in it, how it needs to be successful. Like, again, who's in the crowd? Everyone's like, my fucking ex-boyfriend fucking rocked up at the gig. Why did he do that? And I'm just like, why do we have this thing? I mean, we have, you know, so much like media sort of slam at us all the time, like internet, we want Netflix, there's so many things keeping people at home. So I guess I'm really fascinated by the idea of why people leave the house, right? Because really, sometimes I'm like, if I had the choice.
Last word, at least the most powerful introvert.
Why do people leave the house? Why do people leave the house? Why? What do you mean it's so good there? You know, you've got such a view, right? But I think it's interesting that there's this, you know, with the internet and stuff, people still go out and, you know, live stuff and entertainment and like musicals, comedy, everything is still taking off. You know, people go out and see each other all the time. So it's a bit of a love letter, I think, to sort of performance in that kind of way.
And to you guys, because look at you, you're out doing stuff. This is the dream.
Thank you for coming.
Live the dream.
Why are you here? Why are you in this? You know, have you seen The Good Place? It's a good show.
I disagree.
Oh.
100%.
You don't
I couldn't get on board.
Really?
I couldn't get on board.
Do you guys know The Good Place?
I know it's really popular. I know. I'm in the minority.
You don't have
to shame me publicly.
Okay. Do you like Rick and Morty?
I do.
Fuck you.
But, to be fair.
Anything good there.
No, I wouldn't have lined up for The Source. Like, if anything.
Oh, did anyone hear about that? You guys know what Rick and Morty is? Yeah. It's a cartoon, and in it, one of the main characters is obsessed with this particular kind of sauce that McDonald's made, like in the 80s or something. And then Macca's released the limited edition of it because they thought, why not get in on this weird internet meme thing? And then there were like fights in Macca's of people trying to get this fucking sauce and selling them on eBay for like $50,000, and people actually buying them. And I feel like, you know, I said don't leave your house. It's those kind of people that I would be like, please leave your house. Get out and see the world, yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's just a mixture of barbecue sauce and sweet and sour sauce. I don't think it's a...
Probably.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I used to work at Macca's when I was like 16. You know how I quit Macca's? Someone threw a drink back through the drive-thru window. No, it's called fire in the hole. That's what you're supposed to yell, fire in the hole. I was like doing the Mac, and there was like these goons there or whatever, these dudes on a Friday night, and like I bent forward to do the next order, and I see like, and I hear this like, right? And you think it would be a milkshake, like I'd do something messy, but it was just a Coke. I was kind of shit, and then they drove off and they looked at the CCTV footage, and they blocked out their number plates.
Of course.
Premeditated. And then, you know, guys, it's Friday night, you know what it's time for? Fucking fire in the hole! Those are the people that need to go back inside. So it's,
yeah, it's a fine line.
It's a fine line.
I should program it for that. It would have to be my last day at Macca's.
It was, I never went back.
Yeah,
but I was 16, so I went home and told my mum, and she rang up and quit for me. Because I was a little worse. It was a harrowing job, actually. It was really rough. It was a rough Macca's.
Which
there's a few one on the PM Highway and down in Elston Wink, right? Which doesn't sound very rough, but it's the first Macca's for like miles, and it's 24 hours. But I came in one of the shift manager overnight had blood on his shirt because he punched a dude out. That came through the drive-thru. It's the drive-thru. It's always the drive-thru. Yeah, that like there's a Macca's hierarchy, and drive-thru is the thing you need to attain to.
Oh, really?
Just in case any of you ever need to know that information. Like, does anyone work at Macca's? Oh, fucking alright then. So,
at least nobody's working.
Menial jobs within the hospital, and it taught me people ask, fucking stupid, and you're great. Please come back. Please come.
And that show is again?
It's called Between a Block and a Hard Place. I might give you some flyers on the way out. I have one more show tonight as well, and it would be great to see you guys there if you want to come along later on. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Alright, I've got another guest. She's somewhere even further away than now, and she's somewhere away from the UK. So please, make her feel very welcome. Please put your hands together for Lauren Patterson!
Hello, this is nice. I'm from a place in the UK called Newcastle. And I know you've got a Newcastle over here, but I'm very aware our accents are completely fucking different. But for some reason, every time an Australian, someone in Perth asks us where I'm from, I feel the need to be like, Newcastle, but not yours. And they're like, yeah, we guessed. No, you're not from here. For a start, you're so white. So I mean, I've only just been able to wear these shorts. I bought them especially for Australia, but until a week ago, I just looked like a disco ghost. So I was like, yeah. But I only got another 10. I love sequins. I love sequins, I love sparkles, and it's because I feel quite plain. Normally, that's what I think I am. I think I'm plain. And we've got a saying back home. I don't know if you've got it over here, but it's you can't polish a turd, but you can roll one in glitter. So I like to just tell everybody, do you have that saying over here? No, actually, take it with you. It's bloody brilliant, isn't it? I like to tell everybody that way of living. And I've been here a week, and I've said this a lot, but I think I'm plain. For the first time yesterday, a woman grabbed this on the way out of the show and she went, darling, you're not even that ugly. I was like, I never said I was, Susan, but I thank you for letting your true colours show. That's ugly. I don't think I'm ugly, not at all. I think a lot of people assume that when I say plain, I mean ugly. That is not what I mean. I just think I'm plain. Don't think I'm ugly, don't think I'm attractive, I just think I'm plain. And I thought that probably for about 12 years, since I was 12 years old, went to go to like secondary school and you start pitting yourself against other women. I was like, well, I don't look like those girls, I must be plain. I'm 24 now. I was like, why the fuck have I spent 12 years thinking being plain is a bad thing? Doesn't have to be bad, not at all. So I went down to the boys who I live with. I live with three boys, they're all comedians. I thought they'd give the best advice. And then my big brothers, they're going to make me realise that I've been wrong all along and being plain is something to be proud of. So I went downstairs and I was like, lads, I think I'm plain, but that's not actually a bad thing, is it? And they just stared at us. A very awkward silence until the first one went, can I just get something straight? You think you're plain? I was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He went, right, like a scone. And I didn't even have time to ask him what he meant because my second flatmate went, yeah, totally see where you're coming from, Lauren. You are a plain scone, aren't you? I was like, what do you mean? Because that's definitely not what I was getting at. He went, well, think about it. If I came home from a night out and I'm hammered, I'm steaming drunk, I am off my face, I am wasted, and I went in my bedroom, and on my bed waited for me was just a plain scone. I would not be thrilled, but I would probably settle for it. That's kind of you, isn't it, Lauren? And I was like, if you need us, lads, I'll be upstairs crying. See you later. Thanks for that. And my third flatmate called us back. He went, why are you upset? Or, cause that's a really nasty thing to say. You hurt my feelings. He went, we haven't. What do you mean you haven't? When you've got nothing to be embarrassed about. There's so many good things. I was like, here we go, compliments. That's what I wanted all along. He went, there are so many good things about being a plain scone. I was like, I'm gonna need an example made. He went, yeah, sure, like a plain scone will go with absolutely anything. I was like, that's not a compliment. What a compliment. I'm trying to really put a big effort on focusing more on liking myself. Because I'm single for the first time as an adult, and a big breakup this time last year. I've been going out for 4 years, and I moved from Newcastle in the north of England, 300 miles away to London, to try and be a comedian. And I asked him if this was okay. And he was like, yeah, of course, we've been together 4 years. Like, no, that's absolutely fine, we'll just go long distance. Because you know what they say about long distance? Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
doesn't.
Yeah.
So he's up since just made his dick wander. That's his whole
And I was devastated and I was so upset and I didn't really know anybody and none of them knew was the boys who I lived with because I'd sort of been thrown in amongst them and they were quite protective. And they were like, you need to go back out there and realise there's other people who like you. You are not going to sit crying over this boy. And I was like, well, I'm quite awkward. I don't know how to go out and meet other people. And they went, have you ever done dating apps? Everyone assumes because I'm young, I must have been all over the dating apps without a boyfriend during the whole time they were at their peak. So I went on my first dating app as a 24-year-old woman, and I have never felt so empowered. Never. I used to get bullied at school and picked on, didn't get any attention. I had glasses, I had braces, I was very shy, very awkward. And finally, as a 24-year-old woman, I could decide I was too good for somebody. I could decide I was too attractive for somebody. I could decide that somebody was not worth 60 seconds. Of my time, and I can make all these decisions while I'm having a shit. I have never. My mum's been married 29 years. She heard me do this bit of material, and now when she has a bad day, she goes on Tinder and goes to the toilet. And I'm like, what? Why? You've got a husband. She's like, yeah, but it's good to have a confidence boost, isn't it? You do you, honey. You do you. I didn't really know what I was looking for. I don't have a type. Do not have a type, I've never really been out with one person, so how do I know what kind of person I like? And my flatmates were like, right, well, if we lined up a line of boys, what would be the thing you looked for? I said, nice eyes. I like a man with nice eyes. They went, well, that's what you're going to look for on the dating app. You're going to look for a lad who's got nice eyes. I went, yep, I want a man whose eyes make me heart melt. That is what I want, that is all I want, a man whose eyes make me heart melt. After half an hour, I've just rejected everybody. I was like, never mind that. Just a man whose eyes point the same way would be. I'll tell you one last thing, which is I found going from the virtual to the reality really hard. I found talking to these boys online so easy, but I found actually going to meet them really hard because I thought, well, I don't know what kind of situation I'm putting myself in. And I always put myself in dangerous situations without realizing how dangerous they are. I think it's because I've sort of grown up doing comedy since I was a kid. I'm used to being around boys and men and people bigger and tougher than me. So in my head, I think I'm big and tough and I'm not. So I'll give you the best example for a go. I was at the Edinburgh Festival last summer and my biggest phobia is mice. Absolutely terrified of mice. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm in bed and a mouse just ran across us. And I was like, no, you can have the bedroom. It's not like I paid £1,000 for it. No, you have it, it's yours. So I tried to ring all my friends to see if somebody would put us up for the night. It's Edinburgh Festival. Everybody's either drinking or already asleep, so nobody answered. I thought, fine, for one night I'll book a hotel. Edinburgh is the biggest arts festival in the world. All the hotels were flapping through. So I was like, right, I am desperate. So I put a tweet out. And I just said, hey, can anyone in Edinburgh give me a bed or a sofa or even the floor for just one night? There's a mouse in my bedroom and I'm terrified. One person replied, just a stranger with no profile picture. And all it said was, I've got a bed for you, darling. And I was like, thank you, at SpunkyMonkey123. That is exactly what I need. And what I got his address, off I went. And if anyone thinks this story's got like a dark turn, not at all. That man was an absolute gentleman. He put us up in his spare room before I left in the morning. He did my breakfast, 3 sausages, not one of them was his penis. Absolute gentleman. But I was really mad on the way back home the next day, on the way back to my flat. I thought, I'll tell her what a nice night I had. With my saviour, with my knight in shining armour. My mum did not see the same side of the story. But I did, I'm her baby girl. And she was screaming down the phone at me. She was like, Eric Paxton, do you know how stupid you are? I was like, I've got 2 degrees and they're both in drama. I know how stupid I am. You don't need to remind me of that. She went, you went to stay in a stranger's house just because you had a mouse in your bedroom. You went to stay with someone from the internet just because you had a mouse. In your bedroom, you told not one person where you were going just because you had a mouse in your bedroom. Can you please tell me what could have happened? And by this point, I'm proper sobbing, and I was like, Mom, I'm really sorry, I am stupid, I'm so sorry, I didn't even think. Like, he could have had a mouse as well, couldn't he? And I'm not passing. amazing book, and I took it to Edinburgh last year and surprised everybody by getting nominated for Best Newcomer. Literally, 90% of the messages I got were like, "Hey Lauren, congratulations." They were like, "How the fuck did you get nominated?" And I was like, "I don't know! It's amazing!" Like, I'm quite young to be nominated, but I was very happy with it. And so I brought it over to Perth, and I've been taking it to Adelaide, and really, a kind of breakup that I mentioned in that story, and it's the story of me getting ghosted from a relationship, and I've never been happier to be dumped. Off the back of being dumped, yeah, I got depression and had a shit, yeah, but now I'm in Australia, so like, win-win.
Edinburgh, best new camera, telling me how to show well. On your way to New Zealand, like, yep, this has worked out well for you.
I'm just so, because now I have to write next year's Edinburgh show, and I'm like, can someone please dump this again? I don't really know what else to do. I'm like, Mom, can you lose just one limb? Like, one.
It's a small commitment for my career.
Exactly.
It's not enough that you birthed me.
Yeah.
From me into this damn world. No, that's delightful. That's an excellent to hear. And how many more shows have you got?
So I have one tonight. It's 7 o'clock at the Brass. And then I've got tomorrow off. And then I'm on every night until next Sunday, which is very exciting. And there are all of the tickets still available. Definitely. It is a big ass room and feels nice with 5 people in it. It's very snug. Very cosy. I've got a rule in my show because it's quite hot. I'm like, you can go out if you need a wee, if you need a drink, because I know sometimes how uncomfortable that is when you're like, oh, I'm thirsty, I need a wee. So I let them go, but anyone who goes for a drink has to bring me one. So I'm mad last night, stood up, and I could see he felt really awkward. And I was like, remember I said you can go for a drink? He went, no, no, I know that. I just didn't know how to ask you what you want. And I was like, I'm Geordie, I have anything. Get to the bar. So I just accumulate a little pint of drinks for the show. It's brilliant.
Maybe you should add that into your little caveat. You guys, just bring me anything.
I'm like, just anything. Anything
yeah.
will do.
That's fantastic. I did see a show in the night I went, like, so you'd mentioned that people can leave if they want to get a drink or if they're feeling too hot. And there was that young lady in the crowd.
Oh,
yeah, I was there that night,
yeah.
Yes. There was someone who was like overheating in the crowd.
It was the day we had that meeting, was it Thursday or Friday?
Yeah,
the day when it was super hot.
Yeah.
And bless, the little girl was not feeling, and I could see she didn't feel well, but I was like, she's going to get up. She's going to leave. I've said they can leave.
She was enjoying the show too much. She was just like, I'm invested. I'm well, but I'm invested because I was sitting right behind her. But she was just like slowly slumping over, but still like staring at me.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the show.
When I saw the hand go over the mouth, I was like, I'm going to have to intervene because I am in the splash zone totally. I've got 5 games after this, I'm not doing them covered in sink. But the guy who works on the door of that venue, he was like, it smelled of vomit for the whole rest of the night. Thanks, Lauren. And I was like, I wasn't sick. It wasn't me, but bless her, she was okay. I felt sorry because a man loved the show, and a man came up to me at the end and was like, she's outside. Because she was only about maybe like 12 or 13.
Yeah,
she was like, can you go and talk to her? So I went to speak to her, and bless her, she's clearly like embarrassed and crying. And then the man went, should we get a ball? And this girl looked mortified, and I've never related with like a 12-year-old so much. And I was like, I was you 10 years ago, this is my mom.
Trying to
like hold our tears in while getting this
for,
and I was
like, please send me a copy of this,
I'm gonna frame it.
It's the beginning of your next show. Definitely. All right, thank you, Lauren Patterson. Thank you. Okay. Now, what's gonna happen here? We're gonna get over our guest back on the stage. So I'm gonna hang out over here. I'm gonna learn from my book. My book is this, please don't smile. Yes, please don't smile. Thank you very much.
So I never think that one.
Each of you ladies could pick one audience member to like play for to represent, and that one of those audience members will walk away with if they want to go see any of our shows, afterwards they can get in touch with us and we'll be able to organize a couple of comp tickets for that. So if you want to pick someone each, you'll just like point to someone and someone's going to be blocked.
Sunglasses.
I'm going to be the dude that we've had sex pretty
much.
I'm going to lock this down.
It feels like you're biased. Okay, so this is a real simple list. We're going to see the second half of the show out. I'm going to say second half, but we'll pass the half point. I'm going to end the show out with a real simple quiz. I've got a Lauren and Lauren here, and I'm just going to throw a couple of questions at them, and we're going to see how with asking these questions. Can kick in the door and see what you're watching so they know what properties to buy next. We're going to be watching that and I want to take over that studio.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, alright, let's move on.
Unless they want someone to be like this really disturbed.
Yeah, just
right?
Be disturbed at all points.
Is it, this is something about, is it because of the Las Vegas thing then, I'm assuming?
I couldn't believe it came up, the Las Vegas.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, you don't want to shoot up Disneyland, do you? It's going to bring it
right down.
And we'll.
Sorry,
and Matt, it's up to you to bring it up. Yeah.
And you know who to blame. And sure to see.
Okay. I'm just going to put a big do not disturb sign in front of my venue.
So, this UK surgeon has admitted to doing what to his patients? It's not as bad as it sounds, although.
Curing them? How does that work?
Yeah, is that something that they sit down and be like, did you do that?
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the NHS is pretty shit and that curing someone would actually be an achievement.
Has he been cuddling them? That's a really lonely doctor for a long undercut shift in the NHS when there's no other staff. He's like, just need a hug.
No, it's not being covered.
Leaving his instruments and points.
You're not far off. No, that would have started with a former UK
touching people's organs. Hey. Tattooing organs.
Yeah, burning his initials into organs.
Holy shit! How much of an ego do you have to have?
Right.
You're like, this one's mine. It's like shotgun, but like for a fucking surgeon.
This liver is mine.
Yeah. That was gonna be a really long name, and it'd be like, do you like the B-D-L.
What's his initials?
What do you mean a really long name? That's the thing. Is it cursive or like as you can
tell?
How do they know? How do they know?
Every time you do an X-ray, they're just like,
the monkey temple in Bali, and they have learned a particular behavior. Do we know what that behavior is? Probably, because it's got a lot of bogans in Bali, but it's not, we don't know for sure because we can't see it.
Isn't that parrots or something? Yeah. Monkeys. Do you want to call me a cunt?
I can imagine a liar, but like just. Because it would learn all the stories. Because they can impersonate like chainsaws and all sorts of
cameras,
other things.
Yeah.
So
I've seen that David Attenborough documentary as well.
So they would do like perfect swear words. They'd get out like accent perfect. It's like, cracking
cat! What was the question again, Tom?
So monkeys in Bali have learned to feel like hate.
Is it dabbing?
Yes. Been like 6 months.
No,
so they've learned to exploit tourists by stealing their things and then exploiting them for food. Like they just hold on to their stuff and, until the tourists give them food and then give them their stuff back.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they've learned that from Fringe artists.
I've been to the monkey temple, right? And they weren't doing that. I saw them stealing stuff, like a baby monkey tried to steal a water bottle and ran off with it about the middle like this. So it was just stealing everywhere. And I got beat by a monkey in the monkey temple. Yeah. My own fault. He was the alpha. And I needed to learn to respect that.
Dragging back to one another.
Alright, Thailand's Prime Minister, he's been using what to address the press?
Smoke signals.
No.
Address the press.
Yes. So he's been
a monkey? Twitter, I'm assuming? Snapchat. Instagram stories. Tinder. To write notes in the mirror using its breath. And
less digital.
Charades?
Yeah.
No.
Carry pigeons.
So what you said, telepigeons? I've already done that. Sign language?
No, he's not really in close, but it's part of it. So he finishes. What he wants to send his public address, and he puts out a cardboard cutout of himself, and he's like, "You can put all further questions to this guy," and walks off.
What?
Yeah, he looked up, it's amazing. Because he walks off with the most swagger I've ever seen. He's like, "Peace out." You know, all questions to him, and they just gone. He's got a bunch of them, and he just like puts them out at the microphone.
What if other world leaders are going to pick up on that at some point?
I don't think so.
Like, Marky Joyce is going to be the first person going, "They are fucked."
I don't know. That's too wrong. Robots in Las Vegas are doing what?
Winning the pokies.
No.
Because that would be my first thing if I was in Las Vegas.
So think about
and I was a robot.
Other things that are in Las Vegas.
Kill all humans, put that to the side.
Who else might be staying in Las Vegas?
Britney Spears. Britney Spears is a robot.
No, but you're not too far away from the answer. Yeah, you might have it's an interesting one, right?
It's
been pulled it.
No!
So they built a couple of robots that were.
I saw that at Sexpo a couple of years ago! Yes! I went to Sexpo, everybody. but it was very weird because our machines kind of have that thing with, I mean, this is very mechanical, so none of the rest of the robot was moving apart from its hips. It was sexy, right? Sexy.
All right, we're running out of time, so I've got one more question, and I might give you this one. So, what have Australian birds been observed using as a hunting tool? It includes an element, so we've got one full chance of getting it right.
Hydrogen.
Not periodic table. Yeah, there's people have been observing the whistling kite and the brown falcon. So when fires start up, what they do is they realize that small animals run from fire. So they've been picking up twigs from a little fire, just flying over and dropping them to start them up with fire. So that they can hunt for food. Yeah.
I feel like any human climbers that are out there that like do like that sick thing where they climb for hunt for fire and then they get caught like, oh, birds did it.
So I feel like that because we're running out of time. So
Who won?
You won the country. Thank you so much, guys, for coming out. You've been an amazing audience. I've been with my guests.
And of course, I'm at Mark, everybody, as well.
Do check out either of my guest shows or myself. I've got one more show tonight called War of the Worlds. Thank you so much, guys.